He said one day you'll leave this world behind, so live a life you will remember. My father told me when I was just a child, these are the nights to never die. My father told me
it's showtime.
Live from Homer, Alaska, I'm Chris Story, and this is, in fact, On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose.
Oh, say, can you see how the dawn's early light was so proudly we hailed twilight's past gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gay.
Thank you to Chris Stapleton. Today on Top of the World, Seward City Councilwoman Liz DeMoss here to discuss the sale of Seward Electric to Homer Electric. Also, Mindbender times two. That's right, Captain's Coffee Mindbender round one and AJ's Old Town Steakhouse Mindbender round two. You could win a free coffee card or a steak dinner. Stay tuned. News you can use, and whose fault is it anyway? Spoiler alert, who cares? You're in the right place at the right time, and you were born to live on purpose. I'm convinced of that. Why? Well, because you're listening to On Top of the World, and that's Radio on Purpose. With your Millionaire Minute, I'm Chris Story. Being afraid to fail is its own form of failure. If you get too comfortable where you are, in the safety zone of the known and familiar, you may not fail in the normal sense of the word, yet you maybe feel like one anyway. Whittier said, "For all the sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these, it might have been." Look before you leap, but don't stare. Make a plan, but leave room for the white space of improvisation. Never let it be said that you could have been, or worse yet, if only I'd acted when. In this moment, you've got a chance. Look failure straight in the face and say, "I ain't afraid of no ghosts." Ghosts? That's all fear really is, isn't it? From the Backyard Millionaire, I'm Chris Story. Be sure to tune in to the Backyard Millionaire every Thursday, right here, Thursdays at 1 o'clock for the Backyard Millionaire, how to create wealth where you are with what you've got. Other people cannot make you see with their eyes. Think about this as you discuss politics or any other deep ideas with your friends. Think about this. Other people cannot make you see with their eyes. At best, they can encourage you to use your own. Aldous Huxley. By the way, just started Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. Don't tell me how it ends. want to find out for myself. I think I was supposed to have read that a long time ago, Brave New World, but I just started it, got a hardcover. Happy to have that in my library. Mindbender Round 1 presented today by Captain's Coffee, captainscoffee.com. Custom roasted beans, smooth, rich, dark, and bold flavors. Rich, dark, and bold, just like you here on Top of the World. Captain's Coffee, it's Alaska's original artisan coffee roaster, and you know that. Why aren't you drinking their beans, eating their beans? You can eat the beans, but you could drink them. I'll never forget. Did I tell you the time about the chocolate bean and it almost destroyed my real estate career? Mm-hmm. Came from Captain's Coffee, but that's okay. They're still quite delicious to eat, but they're even better when you grind them and brew them and make the best brew on earth. Captainscoffee.com. They'll ship right to your door, and you can drink more because they'll roast them for you. Captainscoffee.com. Okay, here's your question. You are playing for a coffee card. The first U.S. patent was issued for what? The first U.S. patent was issued for what product? Was it A, a mashed potato maker, B, potash for fertilizer, or C, the Thighmaster? 299-7653, 907-299-7653. What do you think the first U.S. patent was issued for? A mashed potato maker, potash for fertilizer, or a Thighmaster? Text in right now. Art Bell's biography is fascinating. Remember I told you I'm reading that? Love it. He's got a section, and Art Bell, the creator and founder and host of, for many, many years, the good years of Coast to Coast AM. And George, not knocking George Norrie, he's not Art Bell. In his book, it's called The Art of Talk by Art Bell, he's got a section on regrets. Do you have regrets? Everybody's got some regrets, but is it smart to dwell on regrets? I don't think it's smart to dwell on regrets.
Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention.
So I mentioned this one to you, and it's one regret that I'll share with you. I wouldn't share with anybody else, but I'll share it with you. And it makes me sad, actually. It's a regret in my life, and it makes me very sad. To an extent. I mean, look, I'm not on the floor sucking my thumb in the fetal position, but it's still, when I think about it, an Art's book prompted me to think about this. It's my art show last year, about a year ago. Avant-garde. To say the least, it was an avant-garde presentation of, and I'm using air quotes, art. I was experimenting and wanted to start a conversation with free speech. So I used my speech on my pottery, and I painted them with automotive paints, and it was completely off the walls, completely different. In fact, they were pieces of walls designed to spark a conversation. In fact, the idea of a wall, that is in of itself, over the last 5 years, starts a conversation of sorts. And here's the thing. Nobody challenged me or said a word to me negatively to me. At the opening, there was a lot of people that went through. Nobody negatively approached me or wanted to debate or discuss. But they later complained to the gallery owner, the gallerist. So about a week later, she pulled the show. She pulled all my work down. And that's not the regret. Here's my regret. And again, I only share this with you. I threw away every single piece. Took them to the dump in boxes, tossed it away. Months of work, months of my life, my expression, my voice. Because, I faced a rejection that I hadn't experienced in a long time, and I let it hurt me. And that's my regret. Not that I did it, not that I did the show, not that the gallerist was getting grief from people that weren't brave enough to say something to my face, but that I let it get to me.
I am not cloying. I am not needy. I don't care what you think. You're not getting to me.
You're not getting to me.
I've lived a life that's full.
But I learned from it. So I regret and at the same time learned. And trust me, I've pivoted. No more. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio On Purpose. Remember, Captain's Coffee got a card for you. How you play the game is you text message your name and answer at 299-7653. The first U.S. patent was issued for what product? Potato masher, hot ash for fertilizer, or the Thigh Master? 299-7653. Coming up, Liz DeMoss from Seward. She's on the city council. Stick around.
Saw it through without exemption.
It's not how much talent you've got. It's how much you use the talent you've got. That's the main question. W.C. Gennett. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio On Purpose. Christopher Story here along with Mr. David Webb, engineering and producing the broadcast all the way back up to the mothership courtesy of Horizon Wireless. Horizon Wireless, 907-226-3130. 226-3130 for the best and the fastest down and upload speeds wirelessly you're going to find. Our Mindbender's on deck right now. We've got our guest coming up in just a moment from Seward, Alaska. Mindbender, though, you're playing for a Captain's Coffee card, the greatest coffee roasted on earth. It's here in Alaska at captainscoffee.com. The question is, the first U.S. patent was issued for what? A mashed potato maker, B, a potash for fertilizer, or C, the Thigh Master, 907-299-7653. We go now to Seward, Alaska.
Hi, I'm Liz DeMoss, city council member here in Seward.
People ask me all the time, how did I get to Homer? Well, I was born in a room not far from here, so it's a pretty easy, short, boring story. I'm curious, how did Liz DeMoss get to Seward, Alaska?
Well, I was born in Anchorage back in the 70s, and then I grew up in the Midwest. I only lived in Alaska for a couple of years, and then my family moved back to the Midwest where I was raised, and then I ended up coming back to Alaska as an adult. My dad moved here, and my sister, I have two sisters, and we all kind of ended up coming up here in the summers, spending time in the summers and really enjoying it, and all just ended up putting our roots down in Seward. Now, I lived in Anchorage for a little bit before I moved to Seward, and one of my goals when I lived in Anchorage was to get to Seward because I just always loved it, and I had family here, and it just made sense. So now I've been in Seward for about 15 years, and I've been in Alaska for about 25 years.
Wow. What, yeah, that's great. And you say the Midwest, I think Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Minnesota. It's like, it's all the same, right? But where in the Midwest?
Exactly. Down there.
Yeah. I once said to a guy recently, he just moved here from, and now I know definitively it was Nebraska, but I said something about North Dakota, and he goes, no, Nebraska. And I was like, nah. It's like, and he goes, well, you Alaskans. I'm like, yeah, it kind of, you're not in Alaska, so it doesn't matter. But no, I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
I hear you about wanting to get to Seward from Anchorage. My wife and I, for years, about 10 years, had a pottery business, and we'd sell pottery all over Alaska. And wherever I went around Alaska, at least in the bigger cities like Anchorage, one of the common refrains was, boy, I'd love to live on the peninsula. Boy, I'd love to live in Homer. And Seward is just as loved, I know, by the city dwellers. But to make that dream come true, that's amazing. And you're not just in Seward for 15 years, but you're also a business owner in Seward. And that's a challenge in and of itself. And how's it going?
Yeah, you know, I enjoy it so much, but it is a struggle sometimes. It's a very seasonal town. My husband and I have owned the Seward Ale House since 2007. And, you know, we've always stayed open year round, but it can be difficult to operate seasonally. And you do have to kind of change your mentality when it comes to running a business. I had never done business in a seasonal town. And Seward really has become a seasonal town. And a lot of people say it's getting more like that. But I'll tell you what, back in 2007, we were just as quiet in the winter as we are now. So it's changed a lot in the summer. I see different types of people coming here and different seasonal workers. Industry has changed a little bit, but it really is a seasonal town. And even the year-round folks that live here really hunker down in the winter and do kind of the hibernation thing. You know, there's families here, their kids are busy going to school, that kind of thing. So it's, you know, changing a mindset. It's not putting all your eggs in one basket. It's getting creative and buckling down when you have to. And for us, it's worth it. We love living in Seward, and for us, it's a dream come true, and I wouldn't want to do business anywhere else. So the struggle is worth it when it is there. But, you know, it's definitely a feast or famine kind of town.
And you've not only raised your business up there over these past 15 years, you're also in a role of leadership. So you're on the city council, and that's what we're here to discuss today, is the question before the city of Seward in general coming up here, which is, shall you sell your electric co-op and shall you sell it to Homer Electric? And it just dawned on me that at some point, you know, everybody in Seward has to take a turn at the wheel, right? You have to be part of the city council at some point. It's a small community like Homer, like Soldana, like Kenai. We have to step up as business owners and say, okay, I'll take my turn at it for a while. When did you get onto the council?
Well, I am nearing the end of my first 3-year term. I don't know if I'll run again, but I really enjoy it. And you're right. I think that people do need to take a turn at the wheel and step up, you know, especially if you want to be a part of change and if you want to see growth in your community. You know, it can be very difficult. A lot of times people say it's really a position for a retired person or someone who doesn't have to work, because you do really, there is a lot of work to be done, and it can be very consuming, especially when you care a lot. And so that's why I think a 3-year term is perfect for some people. And some people can really, you know, step up a little bit more and take on a little bit more. But it is interesting. It is definitely, it has changed my perspective on city, employees, administration, and, you know, just our whole community. I think that people are so apt to blame the city for so many things, and really, we have to remember that we are the city, and all of us are the city. And really, in a small town, you can make change happen fairly easily. And sometimes it can come down to one or two votes, which can be really motivating to get out there and try to make the change that you want to see. I think this HEA utility sale is a huge question. The utility is a big deal for Seward. You know, I think that it's scary to sell something that is so big. We have really done so much work on just educating ourselves and figuring out the best way to go about this. And there's a lot of questions that we have really explored, you know, one being why Homer Electric instead of Chugach? When Chugach right now, the elephant in the room is Chugach has lower rates. And when I own an old commercial building, and sometimes that electric bill that I get is really hard to pay in January, I'm sensitive to that. I'm extremely sensitive to that. But when I look at where I want to see Seward in a few years and who I want to be partnering with, I want to partner with the people that are ahead of the game. And I believe that Homer is ahead of the game. They've invested so much into their infrastructure, and they really have the same mentality that I believe the majority of our community members do. I have nieces and a nephew here, and I think about, you know, the future for them. And I do believe that in the near future, the rates will be pretty similar across the board, whether you're talking about Seward Utility, Homer, or Chugach.
Well, it sounds like, you know, it came down to maybe three very important questions. And the first one was to the council: do we sell the Seward sell their electric company? Number one. Number two, do you sell it to Homer Electric, a member-owned cooperative here on the peninsula, or up the road? And then three, will the people approve it? And so let me ask you this. You've walked us through the first couple. What's the feedback you're hearing? Obviously, you're holding town halls, and people are getting an opportunity to weigh in and speak directly to you, the council, and the mayor, and talk about this. What's your sense of what people are thinking?
Well, people are very sensitive to the rates. Obviously, that is a big question. I think that people have a misconception that this utility is Seward's little cash cow, and unfortunately, they have seen a good chunk of money go into our general fund on a yearly basis from the Seward Electric Company. But the problem is that those funds should have been going into our electric fund for infrastructure, and they weren't. And so we have a lot of deferred maintenance, and that's a big issue that I don't believe that we can solve on our own. We have a lot of issues with our utility billing. So between that and our infrastructure, there's some pretty heavy liability. And I just don't believe that our little town, we have a lot to manage already. We have a huge budget for our little town. And I believe that alleviating this and joining forces with a larger utility to, you know, make all of us better is really the right thing to do.
Is there a way for people that maybe haven't either been paying as close attention or really haven't gotten an answer to the questions that they've got, or maybe not everybody likes to come to a town hall and raise their hand? Is there a way that people can connect with you directly and either carve out a few minutes on the phone or meet with you? How would they contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, we do have a couple of town halls coming up. If you can make it, I think that that is the best way, because there are so many questions and so many different topics regarding the utility sale that there will be people that, you know, everybody there will be able to answer all of those questions. April 12th and April 19th at the Gateway Hotel from 5:30 to 7:30 are those town halls. If you can't make one of those, or you just don't feel comfortable talking in public, I absolutely encourage you to reach out to our electric department and just talk to Rob Montgomery directly. I know that he is open to answering any questions regarding it. Or if you just want to contact me directly, you can always call me at 907-491-5035. If I don't know the answer, I will definitely try to point you in the right direction to get your answers, your questions answered. But you know, I do believe that this is a vote that people have to make on their own. So I encourage everyone just to get as educated as you can from the right sources. There's a lot of misinformation going around, and we really do need to think about what's best for our community in the future.
Thank you, Liz. I appreciate your time.
No, absolutely. Thank you.
You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Christopher Story here along with Mr. David Webb. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Tiffany Story and round two of our Mind Bender here on Top of the World. Stick around. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Chris Story here along with Mr. David Webb. My website, you can go listen to these broadcasts and much, much more. ILoveHomerAlaska.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the newsletter. I just saw a preview. Tiffany Story does our newsletters. I just saw a preview of next week's newsletter. And I got to tell you, if you're not there, you just won't know. Our Mindbender was presented by Captain's Coffee. This is round one of the Mindbender by Captain's Coffee, custom roasted beans in Homer, Alaska, original artisan coffee roaster in Alaska. It was Captain's Coffee, captainscoffee.com. All right, the question was, the first U.S. patent was issued for what product? Those of you who guessed Thighmaster, I'm sorry, Paul, it wasn't, and it wasn't a potato masher. Either it was pot ash for fertilizer. July 31st, 1790, the first U.S. patent issued to Samuel Hopkins for a process of making potash an ingredient used in fertilizer. President George Washington signed that very first patent. Last year, 2022, 382,559 patents were granted in the United States of America. We've come a long ways, baby. What if a major newspaper wrote an article about you saying, not only are you stupid, but you're ignorant and uneducated? Chicago newspaper did just that in the 1920s. They said Henry Ford was stupid. Well, he sued. In court, clever, very clever, smart, well-paid attorneys for the newspaper set up a series of questions to prove the claim that, in fact, Mr. Ford was stupid and uneducated and ignorant. Here's my favorite question and how Mr. Ford answered it. Here's the attorney. Mr. Ford, how many soldiers did the British send over in 1776 to put down the American Rebellion? Some people might call it an insurrection. Mr. Ford, he straightened himself in his seat. He sat up. He looked at the judge and he looked at the jury. They were looking on. And he said, and I quote, "I don't know exactly the number, but I do know it was a far greater number than those soldiers who returned home." With your Millionaire Minute. I'm Chris Story. Your golden ticket from the vault of the Backyard Millionaire. Never be the smartest person in the room. That's it. That's your golden ticket. Surround yourself with people that have more talent, ideas, and skills than you do. Be willing to be curious and transparent. Don't know the answer? Say so. You don't understand what this word means? It's okay for you to say, hold on, what do you mean by that? You should always want to be the dumbest person in the room about something. Be willing to know what you don't know, and you can find someone who does. Never allow yourself to believe you hold all the answers. As soon as you do, you're going to stop asking questions. Be like the ocean. Let the rivers and streams run to you. If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. From the Backyard Millionaire, I'm Chris Story. You'll be happy to hear that I may have, through the magic of DNA, discovered a long-lost cousin in Iowa. DNA's magical, isn't it? Just an absolute miracle. Our family will once again be united. We'll be whole as a family. In an unrelated story, a 61-year-old retired mechanic in Dubuque, Iowa, has just won a $40 million lotto. In fact, cousin Earl Lapp purchased the ticket on April 1st and thought it was a prank when he was told he'd won. Boy, that sounds just like Uncle Earl, the one I remember. Got a plan and it didn't take him long to decide that Earl had to die. Goodbye, family reunions will never, ever be the same, that's for sure. I hope he flies us down first class. It's time for your Mind Bender Round 2 here on Top of the World, presented today by AJ's Old Town Steakhouse in Old Town Homer, Alaska. You deserve a night out on the town. Make it AJ's Old Town Steakhouse, 907-235-9949. Wherever you is in Alaska, call right now. Make a reservation. Old Town Homer awaits, 907-235-9949. The best absolute prime cuts of meat cooked, and this is a promise, to your perfect temperature. How do I know? Well, I have been at AJ's Old Town Steakhouse with two of the pickiest meat eaters on earth at two polar opposites of the spectrum. Here's my dad that prefers well done, just to a little bit more than well done. And then my father-in-law, Ray, who prefers it still mooing. Both can get their steak delivered to the table to their perfect cook. AJ's Old Town Steakhouse. All right, here's your question. And I don't know the answer to this, to be quite frank with you. I really don't. I mean, there is not one answer, but I'm even thinking about it for myself, and I don't know how to answer this. So why would I bring it to you? Because I trust the audience. I trust you. You are smarter than me, and you're going to tell me something. You're going to answer this in a way that I'm going to go, oh, yes, you're right. Here's your question. What's the best 80s movie ever made? During the 80s, what was the best movie made? Now, think this over. Don't, unless you know right off the top of your head, take a minute, really think it through. It's a big deal because it was a big decade for cinema. So text your name and answer when you're ready at 907-299-7653, 907-299-7653. I'm tempted. I started watching one on the treadmill the other day. I like to, you know, if you get too fast to run, it's hard to watch a movie, but I just end up listening. And I don't run that fast anyway. I'm more of a jog. But I'd like to call it a jock. It's a combination between a jog and a walk. So yeah, think of me as a jock. And I was watching this one particular movie, and I said to myself, self, I think truly, I think this is the best 80s movie ever. And then I started going through the list of other 80s movies, and I'm like, no, maybe not. Maybe I don't even know, but I know who does know, and that's you. So what's your favorite 1980s movie? 907-299-7653.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
It's time now for your TBC Radio Word. That's right, the Word is presented each week by TBC Radio. You can go online at tbcradio.com or call 803-9424, 907-803-9424. Today's word is, I'm going to keep it to myself for a second. Oh, you know me too well. You know when I do that, I'm struggling with the pronunciation. I'm going to do it here openly. Just going to struggle right there with you. Here it is. I love this word. I found it today. I'd never heard it before, and I had to listen to it being pronounced by Merriam-Webster's online dictionary several times, and I think I've nailed it. It's a noun that dates back to its original roots, about 1500 English roots, year 1500. Here we go. Meliorism. How'd I do? I think I did pretty well. Meliorism. It's M-E-L-I-O-R-I-S-M. Meliorism. The belief that the world tends to improve and that humans can aid its betterment. That's right. You are improving. The earth and the world is improving. And guess who's helping it? You. Meliorism. Let's use it in a sentence. When you look at all the people that wake up every day, it's hard not to take a melioristic view of the world because life is precious.
First time I saw you, I just couldn't look away. Found what I'd been looking for, but I couldn't stay. But my heart was full and my eyes, they could not believe how you wrapped your arms around me, your majesty. I wanna slow it down where the water's deep. Get that northern key.
One of my favorite little books in the world is A Collection of Thoughts by Heraclitus, who was a little known, not really the father of Greek philosophy, but in and of his own work is pretty amazing. And really nothing written down. It's all just handed down. And a guy called Roger Von Ock put together a little book called Expect the Unexpected, which is one of Heraclitus' quotes. And he's got a little graph in the beginning of the book. And this graph is a series of numbers, 1 through 14 or 12, I forget which, but it's just all these numbers randomly repeated in this graph. And the idea is that you just sort of let your finger wander over it, looking away. You're not looking at the graph, you're just kind of looking away. And wherever you land, you look, tip of your finger, and there's a number. Today's number was 6. The quote that correlates to number 6 is this. A wonderful harmony is created when we join together the seemingly unconnected. Heraclitus.
Beauty puts my mind at ease, and I'm humbled in the presence of your majesty.
Yes, indeed. All right, what's your favorite 80s movie? Boy, Tom came in with one that I got to agree with you, Tom, and I'll bet others will too. Hunt for Red October. That stands the test of time, doesn't it? Boy, Clancy, what a great guy. In fact, you know what I'm going to do real quick since you said that, Tom? I'm going to pull something up here real quick that I think you'll enjoy. And maybe you knew this, maybe you didn't.
There's something not just similar, there's something identical in all of us. We all had an idea, a dream that we wanted to make real, and we all stuck with it till it was. And although we're in all sorts of different fields, I mean, like two of my friends in the Academy, Marv Minsky, at the head of the Artificial Intelligence Lab at MIT, and Susan Butcher, that crazy gal who takes sled dogs all the way across Alaska, they're both dear friends. That's about as different, I mean, and Tom Clancy, the writer, that's three people about as different as people can be. And yet we're all the same. What unifies us is this image that we have of the way we want our lives to be, and the fact that we were unwilling to give up on that dream.
Isn't that great, Tom Clancy? An incredible writer, great man, great American. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. When we return, Tiffany Story joins to talk about our scholarship giveaway here at Story Real Estate Plus, Thought Power by Dr. Joseph Murphy, when we return to the Top of the World.
Do, 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 do,
Thank you. You are listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Christopher Story here along with Mr. David Webb. You're listening to what my mom calls the greatest show on earth. Tiffany Story joins us in just a moment. First, our mind bender give you one more opportunity to enter to win a free dinner at AJ's Old Town Steakhouse. The question on deck is, what's your favorite 1980s movie? Big year, big decade for cinema. What's your favorite movie? 299-7653. Text that in right now. Tiffany Story, welcome back to the Top of the World.
Hey, Chris. Thank you.
You know, it's funny. We've been married for 34 years, known each other 35 years. I can't say that I could answer what's Tiffany Story's favorite 1980s movie. I should know that. What is it?
Oh, gosh. I know. I feel like that is like such a flashback in time. I don't know.
Well, think about it for a second.
I think of movies like Pretty in Pink or all those, just those kind of 80s movies that we watched, or maybe I watched. I don't know.
Okay, I watched Pretty in Pink, but I'm not going to put it on my list.
I don't think it's my favorite either, but I'm just like, I'm thinking of
just randomly naming 80s movies.
Flashdance or yeah. I don't know.
Well, I watched, I don't think I told you this, Tiffany, but out on the tread the other day, I watched part of Red Dawn. Patrick Swayze, Matt Dillon, Charlie Sheen. Yeah, and it held up. It's really held up. Ironically, it's actually more salient today than it probably ever has been in human history. But when I was a kid, I watched it. It came out in 1984, and I used to play in the backyard and pretend that, you know, Ruskies were landing over the hillside, and like me and my cousin, my brother would bunker in. We had like little spots where we'd go to, and it was a pretty impactful movie. So that's Red Dawn was mine. Other people are saying Hunt for Red October, another one that came up, which I tend to agree with. Let me look and see real quick. Let's see here. Hunt for Red October.
Depend on how old you were in the 80s.
That's a good point. Well, here's one. I didn't even think about this. E.T., of course.
Definitely classic.
Yep. Empire Strikes Back. Larry's coming out of way out of left field. Makes me think maybe one of his kids got a hold of his phone. He's seen The Breakfast Club, and I did not see that coming from Larry.
The other one I was thinking of too, The Breakfast Club. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tiffany Story, thanks for being here on Top of the World. You are the CEO, the CFO, and the COO of Story Real Estate LLC.
All things in the background. Of Story Real Estate.
The thing that you are the entity that keeps us going, and we have a scholarship. Yeah. It's that time of year. Graduation is near. Tell us about it.
I'm so excited that we are doing this once again. We are offering a $1,000 scholarship to a graduating senior. One of the things that makes this scholarship special, I think, is that we really want to gear this towards someone who is going off to a trade school or some other type of career or business training. It could even be an online program or some other type of shorter term skill training. I think that really kind of sets what we're offering apart from so many other scholarships, I think, that are available, and they are amazing too. For all of those students going off to a four-year degree at a university, I think there's a ton of scholarship opportunities out there for them. And I love that, but I really like ours. I think it's really special.
Yeah, agreed. I love it. And I love presenting it and seeing I love going to
scholarship. Well, you know, you're not allowed to present it anymore.
And we know why. Okay. One time. All right. You offer to pay for somebody's entire college education. One time.
I think Zoe Story will be the presenter this year. If it goes to a student at Homer High School.
I love it. I love it. If it's up in Cooper Landing, somehow it tells me that the old Chris is going to get hit the road. But that's good. I love it. I'm going to be there either way, Tiffany. You can't stop me from going because the Kachemak Board of Realtors asked me to present their scholarships that night. So I'm going.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I guess you're still allowed to present that one.
All right. Well, very good. Thank you, Tiffany. I appreciate you coordinating this.
If you want just one more quick thing, if you want to find out more about this scholarship, go to ilovehomeralaska.com/scholarship. And that is going to take you right to the scholarship page. page. You can download the information, or you can, I don't know, whatever it is that you do, you print, you can upload it or print it off, whatever you're going to do with it. You can get all the information right from there on the scholarship and what you need to do to apply. And when it is due by the end of this month. I think we've got like May 1st as the deadline on that. So you'll want to get on that right away. And while you're there, sign up for our newsletter, because you get all these kinds of offers right to your inbox every week, which I love. So just in case you happen to miss the radio show or social media, you will be sure you still get this information right to your inbox.
And I mentioned it a moment ago. You also, Tiffany, you've got a newsletter. I think it's set for a week from now, or maybe it's the week after, but it's something that nobody else will know about unless you subscribe to it. And it sounds like a really cheesy push to increase our subscriber list, which is exactly what we're trying to do, but this is the kind of information that you
need. It's very cheesy. It's still good stuff, and we still want you to know it.
That's right. You got it. I love it. Oh, by the way, Tiffany is designing the book cover for my latest Jacob Mann thriller novel, and it's looking fantastic. Tiffany, I didn't know you had that skill.
I know. It's amazing what Canva can do.
Oh, come on. You're being too modest. I have access to that, and I couldn't have done that.
I am just contributing. I'm just a contributor on it.
The best of my, remember I came to Tiffany last night. You wouldn't remember this, but I'm saying Tiffany will remember this, that I went to Tiffany last night and I said, look, hon, here's the thing for the new Jacob Mann novel, The Watchmen. Here's what I think it should be. Mm-hmm. It should be all black with just white lettering and no picture. And she just instantly went, opened her laptop. Like 10 minutes later, turned it around, showed me. It was like, oh, or that. Oh, that's amazing. So I can't wait to share it with everybody. Tiffany's story, the website one more time for the scholarship.
Yeah, it is ilovehomeralaska.com/scholarship. And you will get all the information right there that you need.
All right. And are we going to have some Toll House cookies tonight? I'm just kidding. I'm in
Good
trouble now. All right. Love you, babe. See ya.
Love you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Yeah, I'm in big trouble. Big trouble. Let's see here. Let's go back to, well, I regained some composure here. That's a joke. I tell her sometimes, hey, why don't you make some cookies? It's like, no, that's not the way it goes. Dave is bragging that I didn't have time to watch movies in the 80s. Dave, come on. Work with me here, buddy. Rocky says, Rocky? Why didn't I think of that? Yes, I'm going to go Rocky or Rambo. Either way, maybe we'll just put a pin in that debate and say Sylvester Stallone, probably the greatest 80s actor. Yeah, Chuck Norris now is coming to the table. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, hello. That was also a great 80s movie. Let's hear. Melanie says that her husband really enjoys the original Star Wars trilogy. Exactly. You know what? Because I think the first one actually came out in 79, 78 maybe, but whatever. But the good ones, the really good ones, came out in the 80s. The rest of the Star Wars, I don't know. It hasn't stolen my heart. You know, the newer ones, just, I don't know, trying a little too hard. Okay, Dave's trying to redeem himself by saying he really liked the rerun of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, originally released in the 60s. And he watched it in, maybe watched it in the 80s, is what he's trying to say. Either which way, you can still, you've got just a couple more minutes to send us your favorite 80s movie. 299-7653. Joseph Murphy, Dr. Joseph Murphy, was an Irish immigrant to the United States of America, and he ended up writing a book in the 60s called The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. Or was it the 50s? I have to go look at my delicious leather-bound hardcover. 1963. Yep, 1963. And he says, review your own thought power. Review your own thought power. He says, the solution lies within the problem. The answer is every question. Infinite intelligence responds to you as you call upon it with faith and confidence. Habit is the function of your subconscious mind. So true. You form habit patterns in your subconscious mind, repeating a thought and an act over and over and over again until it establishes a track in your subconscious mind. He didn't even know about myelin in your brain. that your transmitters become insulated with this myelin. The more you think about something, the more you think about something in a certain way, you're actually speeding up the thoughts that as they travel, because you're sort of insulating that particular neural pathway. He knew this instinctively before the science proved it out. He says, you have the freedom to choose. You can choose a good habit or a bad habit. Prayer is a good habit. And boy, do I agree. Dr. Joseph Murphy, if you've never been exposed to him, check him out. I want to talk about whose fault is it anyway. But, you know, I'm going to do it in a really quick way. I was going to spend a little more time on it, but let's just go here. With your Millionaire Minute, I'm Chris Story. Whose fault is it anyway? Nah, who cares? All right, now in cases of fender benders, yeah, you'd better know who's at fault. But in reality, in everyday life, stop looking for who's to blame. Start reacting as though you're in charge. Okay, this situation isn't good. What can you do about it? What can you do with it? What can you accomplish in spite of these circumstances? If you focus your energy on solutions, you'll remain in control of your destiny. Those who assign blame as sport will continue to live as victims, while you'll keep finding deep meaning and real happiness even amidst the storms of life. Whatever the weather, your fortune and wondrous life are waiting for you right here in your own backyard. From the Backyard Millionaire, I'm Chris Story. And you can catch all of my Backyard Millionaire episodes, radio and podcast at ilovehomeralaska.com. And be sure to tune in live on Thursday for a very powerful episode of the Backyard Millionaire. But whose fault it is? Who cares? Let's move on. Let's get out of victimhood and let's get into a prosperous future whereby we can learn from what we've done in the past and or our ancestors or people, you know, just a generation ago. It's time to forget about the blame game and move into solution. Solutions are the answer to the future. I mean, that sounds so trite and ridiculous. Michael Dukes and I were having this conversation this morning, and he said the same thing, that, you know, the blame game and this and that. It sounds very trite, and it does sound trite, but it's true. It's trite and true. And it's trite and true that you can play a victim for the rest of your life. In fact, victimology can go back for generations, or you can take control, take charge, and become the most powerful force in your own life. It's worth thinking about. It's worth taking Dr. Joseph Murphy's example and training your brain and your subconscious mind. For David Webb and myself, I'll train my brain right now along with you and say this: look forward in life. Learn from your past, but never forget that the good life is lived right here in the present. We'll see you next time.
That's life. That's what all the people say. You're out in high April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna chase that tune when I'm back on top in June. That's life, and as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream, but I don't live.